Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God sung this evening. And we thank Thee, our gracious Father, for those who can testify of the unseen hand of God in our lives, guiding us, directing us, protecting us, and enabling us. And our Father, we would pray that as we would come to Thy Word just now, that we might know the good hand of God upon us. We remember that Nehemiah of old could trace everything to the hand of the Lord upon his life. And our Father, we pray that as we come to Thy Word just now, that we may know the hand of the Lord, and that we might know the help of the Lord. And our Father, that You would speak to those in our gathering tonight who are not converted. And Father, we pray that this may be the red letter night in their experience when they will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We look to Thee in the Savior's name. Amen. Christ is coming. Are you going? Many years ago, Orson Welles produced a radio drama of an imaginary attack from outer space. A student at Campbell College in North Carolina in the States turned his radio on midway through the broadcast and didn't realize that what he was hearing was a fictitious report. And when the announcer described fire falling from heaven upon the earth, the student recalled some sermons from his boyhood years, and he concluded that the end of the world had come. They grabbed the telephone and he called home and he said, "Mama, Mama, have you got your radio on? The fire is falling. The end of the world has come and I am not ready to meet God." The next morning, of course, on campus, he was the object of jokes and teasing. But in that church that day, a godly Bible teacher took the podium and said, "I understand that one of the boys got a lot of ribbing, a lot of teasing, because he was listening to the radio program last night. But young men and women, what if it truly had been the end of the world? Would you be ready?" That morning, 7 unprepared, unsaved young people got ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus by receiving Him as their personal Savior. Can I ask you right away tonight, if the Lord Jesus comes back tonight, and I believe that He could, I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you saved? Doubt you may, but beware, Christ is coming. Earth's long night of darkness will soon be o'er, and Christ, our absent Lord, will reappear. Biblical prophecy will be fulfilled, and Christ will come again. My dear friends, listen tonight. It's later than you think. Jesus Christ is coming again, and His coming is very near. In fact, let me tell you tonight some things that are always true about the second coming of Jesus Christ. First of all, His coming is imminent. The Lord Jesus can come at any moment. He can come at any time. It can happen at any moment. His coming is imminent. Secondly, His coming is inevitable. You cannot stop it. You cannot escape it. In fact, my dear friends, the second coming of Jesus Christ tonight is the only thing that is inevitable. You know the old saying, nothing is certain but taxes and death. Well, I'm here tonight to tell you that that's wrong. I can move to Monte Carlo this evening and never pay taxes. And if Jesus Christ comes, I will never pass through the article of death. His coming is imminent. His coming is inevitable. His coming is irreversible. For when Jesus Christ comes, time will be over. Opportunity to get right with God will be gone. And the only thing that will remain for you is judgment. You know, history tells us tonight to look back. Science tells us to look around. Philosophy says to look within. But Christianity says look up. That's the difference tonight
between a saved man and a lost man. The lost man has no hope. The saved man has a blessed hope, the coming again of Jesus Christ. He came to earth the first time as a servant. He will come to earth the second time as the sovereign. He came to earth the first time as a lamb. He will come to earth the second time as the lion. He came to earth the first time to a crucifixion. He will come to planet earth the second time to a coronation. He came to earth the first time in shame. He is coming again in splendor. He came the first time to earth to die on a tree. He is coming the second time to earth to reign from a throne. Christ is coming. Are you ready? When I think about the coming of Jesus Christ tonight, there are three simple words that come to my mind. The first word is the word certainty. The second word is the word clarity. The third word is the word calamity. The certainty of His coming. You know, we're living in a day when it would appear that facts and certainties are few and doubts and uncertainties abound. The truths of God's Word are boldly rejected, while the notions, the philosophies, the concepts of men are gladly received. And yet, my dear friends, tonight, despite all human changes, God and His Word remain unchangeably the same, and the Lord hasn't left us in any uncertainty concerning this vital point. You see, the coming again of Jesus Christ is not some made-up doctrine tonight. It is sure, it is certain, because it is built on three tremendous pillars. The coming of Jesus Christ is promised declaration. Here is the first mention of the rapture in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus in John 14, speaking to the hearts of the disciples who were filled with a medley of emotions, said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." 1,000 years before His birth, the Savior said, "Lo, I come." He kept that promise. Near the end of His earthly life, in His great high priestly prayer, He prayed, "O Father, I come to Thee." He kept that promise, and all heaven welcomed Him home. And just as He was about to leave His own, He said, "If I go, I will come again." You know, my dear friends, one thing and one thing only must take place before He'll come. Do you know what it is? He must go. He said, "If I go, I will come again. If I go, I will come again." He has gone. Surely the testimony of Scripture tonight is this. He is risen. If I go, He has gone. I will come again. Jesus Christ is coming again. Benjamin Disraeli was a member of the British House of Commons in the days of the Empire. When he was elected to Parliament, he was somewhat different from his contemporaries. For one thing, his dress was different, and he was eccentric. Above all, he was a Jew, and he was despised. And when he arose in the House of Parliament to make his maiden speech, he was mocked by members of the Cabinet and by members of the House of Parliament. The uproar was so loud that Benjamin Disraeli, the Jew, had to abandon his speech. He raised his voice in defiance and he said, "I will sit down, but you will hear from me again." My dear friends, Benjamin Disraeli went on to lead Britain to its greatness. This is the day of the Savior's rejection. Judas betrayed Him. Peter denied Him. The disciples forsook Him. The Romans crucified Him. To this very day, the world generally has no time for Christ. You have no time for the Lord Jesus. He's gone back home, but do you know what He's saying? He's saying, "I will sit down now, but you will hear from Me again." I heard about a little boy who was standing one night at a bus terminal, and he was waiting for his father to come. And the hour was getting late and darkness had descended upon that bus terminal. And everyone had gone. They'd gotten the buses except this little boy. And there were those in that bus station and they were getting anxious for him. And they said to him, "Son, are you sure that your daddy is really coming for you?" And the little boy said, "Oh, I'm perfectly sure that my daddy is coming for me, because daddy said he would come, and daddy always keeps his promise." My dear friends, here is Christ's personal promise. "I will come again." As certain as he came the first time, he will come the second time. Will you welcome him because you're saved? Or will you dread his coming because you're lost? My dear friends, the coming of Jesus Christ is promised declaration. The coming of Jesus Christ is pronounced confirmation. You see, no sooner had Christ left planet Earth than two men stood by the disciples in white apparel, which said, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." Here were two angels coming all the way from heaven to earth to tell earth what heaven believes about the second advent of Jesus Christ. Their message was heaven born. It was heaven brought. It was heaven inspired. "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." Isn't it interesting to notice tonight that angels were present at the birth of the Lord Jesus? They were present at the temptation of the Lord Jesus. You remember that it was an angel that came to Christ and attended our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that angels had almost to be restrained from intervening at the cross. At the resurrection of Christ, the angels were again in evidence. And now here in relation to the Lord's advent, his second advent, they say, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." You say, how did Christ go personally? Then he'll come personally. How did he go bodily? Then he'll come bodily. How did he go literally? Then he'll come literally. How did he go visibly? Then he'll come visibly. How did he go? He went from the Mount of Olives to heaven. Then one day he will come from heaven to the very Mount of Olives. My friends, if it's reasonable tonight to accept that the word of the angel was fulfilled at his birth, and the word of the angel was fulfilled at his resurrection, the word of the angel will be fulfilled at his second coming. The coming again of Jesus Christ is promised. Confirmation. The coming again of Jesus Christ is pronounced. Confirmation. The coming again of Jesus Christ is portrayed. Revelation. You know, of all the certainties that are proclaimed in the Bible, there is none that is so frequently mentioned, that is so clearly foretold, that is so forcefully applied as the second coming of Jesus Christ. I heard about a Bible-believing preacher who brought a tremendous message on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when he had finished, one of those modernistic preachers, one of those old liberal preachers who start nowhere and end up in the same place, said to him, "I want to tell you, sir, that I can't get that out of the New Testament." The wise old preacher said, "You sure can't, buddy. It's in there to stay." My dear friends, listen tonight. The promise of the Lord Jesus in relation to his second coming is in the Bible to stay. You know how many chapters there are in your New Testament? And let me tell you, there are 259 chapters in your New Testament. Do you know how many times the second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned in the New Testament? 300 times. You know, there are some Christians who tell me tonight that the hope of the church is revival. No, it's not. The primary hope of the church is not revival. The primary hope of the church is the second advent of Jesus Christ. The secondary hope of the church is revival. But this New Testament is dominated with the truth of the Lord's return. One verse in every 30 is taken up with this tremendous event. The classic New Testament passage is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Certain day. Where is the promise? The scoffers say. He said he would come. Why this strange delay? Don't all things continue
until this day, but he will come.
Where is the promise? Let men deride, let scoffers and skeptics and all decide. The blessed hope has been misapplied, yet he will come. Where is the promise? The signs all say his coming is not far away. Rejoice, ye saints. He may come today. He's bound to come. Christ declared that he was coming again. The angels confirmed that he was coming again. The Bible reveals that he's coming again. And bless God, I believe that he's coming again. Do you? Certainty. But think with me not only of the certainty of his coming, but the clarity about his coming. You see, the Word of God, the New Testament, leaves us in no doubt as to how the Lord Jesus is coming again. For example, it tells us that Christ is coming specifically. He is coming personally. The joy of welcoming his redeemed people is exclusively his own. Notice how he puts it in verse 3. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Thank God this is not an angel. This is not a messenger. This is not a stand-in. This is not a substitute. This is the literal Lord Jesus coming from heaven to earth, just as the angel said. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. The same Lord Jesus who loved his own even unto death. The same Lord Jesus who appeared at the tomb that morning when Mary's world was shattered, when her hopes were gone, when the tears were flooding her cheeks, and out of the darkness she heard the word, Mary, and she fell at his feet, Master. The same Lord Jesus who appeared to doubting Thomas and showed him his hands and his feet. The same Lord Jesus who appeared through bolted doors and came to reassure the disciples, this is the divine person for which we await. Paul, I think, is overcome with this thought when he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won, he'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Will you be there for that moment in the air? Will you be caught up to meet the Lord in the air? He's coming specifically. The Bible tells us that he's coming swiftly. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord uses three illustrations to set forth the swiftness of his second advent. Christ says it will be as the lightning, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be as the flood which took them all away. It will be as the thief who's not expected to come. He's coming as the lightning. He's coming as the flood. He's coming as the thief. Quickly, Christ will come. You know how the Apostle Paul puts it? He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What a mighty word that is. In a moment. Not a day. Not an hour. Not a minute. But a moment. The shortest possible moment of time. You know what astronomers tell us? They tell us that it takes light 8 seconds to travel the 92 million miles from the sun to the earth. But less than a second will be taken by the Lord's people. Lazarus was raised in a moment. Elijah was caught up in a moment. The church will be raptured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know what that means, my dear friends? It indicates that the descent of the Savior will be as rapid as the downward movement of my eyelid. And my dear friends, it means the ascent of the saint will be as rapid as the upward movement of your eyelash. Do you see tonight that Christ is coming swiftly, that he's coming quickly, that he's coming rapidly? And some of you in this meeting tonight are not saved, and you're going to be caught out, and you're going to be caught on, and time will have gone, an opportunity to get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ will be past. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's coming specifically. He's coming swiftly. He's coming suddenly. Some of you are here tonight and you assume that you have plenty of time to get right with the Lord. Listen to what he says. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You say, preacher, will the coming of Jesus Christ take men by surprise? Of course it will. Business will be going on as usual. The things of earth will be filling the hearts and minds of people. Preachers will be calling upon sinners to repent. And like some of you tonight, they'll be putting off, they'll be procrastinating, they'll be putting off the matter of salvation. And suddenly, unexpectedly, Christ will appear in a moment when folk least expect it. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let me pause. What if Jesus Christ came tonight? What if Jesus Christ came now? Would your mom and dad be taken because they're saved? Because they're redeemed by precious blood? Would you be left behind? Father, mother, tonight, would your saved children be taken? And would you be left behind? Are you still not saved? Still never repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Here's the calamity that is coming. Families will be divided. Homes will be severed. Those who are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And those who are not saved will be left behind to endure eternity in hell without Christ. Think of the happiness that the removed ones will enjoy. An end to our trial, an end to our sorrow, a life of eternal bliss, reunited with loved ones who had died in Christ, never to be parted again, forever with the Lord. What a moment. Take a mixture of metals. Gold, silver, copper, iron, lead, zinc. Scatter some of those metals on the ground. Bury some of them beneath the soil. And then take a powerful electronic magnet and pass it over that site. And immediately one kind of metal leaps up to meet the magnet in the air. But you know, when the magnet is passed, when that electronic magnet is passed, the silver still left, the gold still left, the copper still left, the lead still left, the zinc are left. You say, why does the magnet only attract the iron? Because the iron has the same nature as the magnet. And my dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, He will attract to Himself just one kind of person. The criteria will not be your wealth or your poverty. The criteria will not be your learning. The criteria tonight will not be whether you've been baptized or whether you're in membership. The criteria this evening will be this. That you need to be born again. That's what Jesus Christ said. Ye must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you experienced a new birth? Are you a new creation in Christ? Oh, think tonight of the happiness the removed ones will enjoy. And then think of the horror the remaining ones will endure. Can you imagine a mother waking up in the morning and finding her children gone? Can you imagine a husband's fear turned to panic as he realizes his wife is missing? Can you imagine the worldwide chaos one moment, one day, one period of 24 hours after Jesus returns? The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the street. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate. My friends, in India, when Britain was fighting against the Indian nationals in one of the battles, the British soldiers had hid in a fort. And they then found a secret passage through which they could escape from the enemy who were pressing hard at the gate. And all of the soldiers except one had come to investigate that secret passage, and he was left behind. And you know, when he came into the barracks, the dining room was empty, and When he came into the dining room, it was empty, and everywhere was empty, and he began to cry out in despair, "Where is everyone? Is there anyone here? Has everyone gone?" And he went to room after room in that fort, and no one was there. He looked out, and the enemy was approaching. The enemy was closing almost at the door. He knew that he would be tortured. He knew that he would be cruelly beaten. He knew that he would be killed. And he began to scream out from the depths of his soul, "I have been left behind. I have been left behind." Frantically, he began to look for a way out, the way his fellow soldiers had gone, and finally he found it. They say that that young man was a young man with jet black hair. But you know, the fear of being left behind had turned his hair white. He was so scared of being left behind. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord Jesus comes to rapture his church? I just wonder, will some of you have been cradled in the gospel be crying, "I've been left behind. I've been left behind. I'm lost. I'm damned for all eternity." You see, my dear friends, those who Jesus Christ received at His coming are those who have received Him as Savior. Thomas asked the question, "How can we know the way?" The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Here's how you can be ready for His coming. Christ is the way to be ready. The Lord Jesus came from glory. Now He was on His way back to heaven by the way of the cross. Before Christ came, there was no way. The scars of Calvary on His body attest to the price that He paid to blaze that trail for us, that trail back to God. And He points to His wounds tonight, and He points to His scars, and He says, "I am the way." I wonder tonight, is the Lord Jesus to you the way that links you to God in His fullness? Is the Lord Jesus the link that brings you to God before Him in sinfulness, crying for His grace? Old Harry was a stubborn old man. He'd become a legend in Pacific Northwest in America. And though he was repeatedly warned that his life was in danger, he just laughed. He lived at the foot of a mountain, a quiet mountain. At least she had been quiet for 123 years. And sometimes she began to spit cinder and ash from her crater. And in March 1980, an earthquake measuring 4.1 on the Richter scale registered near Mount St. Helens, southwestern Washington state. And skiers and climbers seemed unconcerned. And American scientists rushed to assess the explosive potential of the mountain, and they painted a picture of future destruction, and people listened, but they couldn't really comprehend a disaster as the one they were being told about. And old Harry, he began to brag, and he said, "Nobody knows this mountain better than old Harry, and it don't dare blow up on him." Days and weeks passed, and everybody heard the geologists say what they wanted to hear them say. They weren't really listening to them at all. When the sheriff's deputies came to the residence at the foot of the mountain, they demanded that everyone leave that place for security and safety. And Harry said this, "I'm having a great time at the foot of this old mountain. I'm king of all that I survey. I've got plenty of whiskey, and I've got food laid up for 15 years, and I'm sitting high and pretty." And one Sunday morning on the 18th of May, 1980, the mountain exploded and hurled rock and ash 14 miles high. The mountain's vengeance was 500 times greater than the nuclear bomb that leveled Hiroshima. The warnings were over. There was no more time to run away. No one ever saw Harry again. I wonder, my dear friends, tonight, is Harry just a picture of you? Wonder tonight, are you refusing to listen to the truth? The truth that if you reject and neglect the warnings of the Bible and reject Christ as Savior, you'll be left behind. And I'm here tonight to tell you that what happened Harry
on that mountain will be like a picnic compared to what will happen to you when God pours His wrath upon earth in the tribulation period. My friends, it'll be too late to read the Bible then. And it'll be too late to pray then. And it'll be too late to get saved then. The Lord Jesus is saying tonight, be ye also ready. Are you ready? I want to tell you tonight that you can be ready. You can be ready now by trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for this time together this evening. We thank Thee for the truth of the Lord's return. And our Father, we pray for those tonight who are not ready. We ask Thee, our gracious God, this evening, that, Lord, You would speak and that You would save. We thank Thee for the certainty of the Lord's return. We thank Thee for its clarity. But, O God, how awful it will be when some will be taken. Others will be left. Families will be divided. Homes will be severed. Father, I pray tonight, gracious Master, I pray that when we stand on the other shore, the family circle will be unbroken. Grant, Lord, that it will be all there, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, speak. Speak to hearts tonight that are not saved. Give deciding grace. Grant that someone will seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and the Lord has spoken to you, and you're concerned, do speak with us at the door. And we can show you from the Word of God how Christ can become your personal Savior. My friend, you need to be ready tonight for the coming again of Jesus Christ.